103 and 102.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1, boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9, respond to gate 437, Bravo, for your dignitary detail. 3K911, I'm attended 400 lower level near Carousel 4, black bag. GTA in progress, 401 parking structure, section 4, boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1, boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2, Franklin and Bravo.
44 suspect, the female, Hispanic, 28 years of age, blue jeans, no further.
Control, high Frank, 401 is a route.
Welcome to this edition of On the Legal Side, a presentation of Private Officer International and Blue Ram Media Group. Today we're talking primarily to private law enforcement officers who do have authority to make arrests. They are sworn law enforcement, oftentimes private security personnel that have been commissioned under state statute to perform law enforcement duties, including making arrests while on the property where they are contracted or employed. And some of this is going to overlap with the private security industry as well. So let's get right to it on this edition. Today we're talking about the laws that require a person to identify themselves. And there are 28 states that require that when a law enforcement officer stops a person for a valid reason, they must identify themselves. What's known as the stop and identify statutes are laws in a number of U.S. states that authorize police to lawfully order, not request. Not, well, if you want to, yeah, good, but if you don't, that's okay too. No, actually, under these state statutes in these 28 states, police have the authority to order a person whom they reasonably suspect of a crime to identify themselves, and if not, that in itself is a criminal offense. If there is not reasonable suspicion that a crime has been committed, or is being committed, or is afoot, as the law calls it, or about to be committed, an individual is not then required to provide identification, even in the state. So an officer just can't go up to someone and say, hey, yo, I need your identification. And it does not work that way. So many times people believe that the police are stopping them because they're being profiled or discriminated against, or that police have the authority to conduct traffic stops just willy-nilly out of the blue. Hey, I don't like that car. I don't like that driver. I don't like the way that they look. No, they have to have what's called probable cause. And so that's what this statute, that's what this law in these 28 states say. They're not going to just stop anybody and everybody just for any old reason. They have to have some legal knowledge that a crime has been or is about to be committed. Because the Fourth Amendment, as you know, prohibits unreasonable searches and seizures. And that is a seizure when you are stopping a person and saying, hey, I'd like to see your identification. Or not even I'd like, give me your identification. Under the Fourth Amendment, it requires that warrants be supported by probable cause. And if you're familiar with Terry versus Ohio, the Supreme Court established that it's, you know, constitutional for police to temporarily detain a person based on articulable. You have to be able to articulate reasonable suspicion that a crime has been committed or is about to be committed, and then you're able to conduct a pat down for weapons. And the same is true to be able to identify a person. However, some stop and identify statues that are unclear about how people must identify themselves does seem to violate that due process of not being seized without reasonable or probable cause. As a commissioned police officer or even a security officer, you have to be able to understand the statute of your state, and we often preach that understand the law of the land of your state and of the country. Here under the Fourth Amendment, it does allow these 28 states to have officers stop and identify a person if they suspect a crime has been committed, but in some states, it's very vague. The law is very vague as to how they must identify. Can they just give you a name? Do they have to produce identification? Does that identification have to be in the form of a driver's license or a picture ID? In Hywel versus Nevada, a court case in 2004, the Supreme Court held that statutes requiring suspects or persons stopped to disclose their name during a valid Terry stop did not violate the Fourth Amendment. However, just in the states that allowed the stop and identify statutes, it didn't really rule one way or the other as to whether or not true identification has to be produced. Now, in a recent New Jersey case, New Jersey is not one of those stop and identify states. Police had conducted a traffic stop, and during that traffic stop, several other persons in the vehicle became involved in the traffic stop. Under the law, all persons in a vehicle may be detained during the traffic stop. Now, once that citation is issued, or if there's an arrest to be made, the driver is arrested, then that detention is over. Constitutionally, everyone in the vehicle has the right to leave. They can get out and walk away. In Callender versus Lawson in 1983, the court invalidated the California law requiring credible and reliable identification as overly vague. The court also held that the Fifth Amendment could allow a suspect to refuse to give their name if he or she could articulate that no crime had been committed and that the police were unlawfully seizing him. As a private or special police officer, it is important to understand the scope of your authority even on private property. If you're currently working as a security officer and you do not have said law enforcement authority, even though that your law in your state may allow for private security to make a detention or even a private person arrest, you would still have to articulate the reason for requesting that identification from that person. When we come back from our first break, we want to get into some of the vagueness of the law and authority of both the private law enforcement officer as well as the security officer. Remember, at Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you, whether that be stab-resistant vests or cut-resistant gloves, high-quality body armor. Body Armor USA, check them out online. We've got what it takes to protect you. And while you're online, go to privateofficer.org today and sign up for all of our breaking news, officer down reports, and upcoming training events. Privateofficer.org, a little box will drop down. Just fill out your name and your email, and we won't spam you. We don't sell your info. Trust me, it's all legit. Privateofficer.org. We'll be right back here on the Private Officer Beat Radio and on the legal side, sponsored by Private Officer International and Blue Ram Media.
I met Luke when I was pretty much born. We kind of just grew up together. He got his license when he was 16. We were going to the beach, and Luke was driving. I was in the passenger seat. And all of a sudden, I don't remember anything. I wasn't conscious for it. We got hit by a drunk driver. I feel like I knew right away that it was never going to be the same. I don't know. The doctors, they were telling me I should have, I was so lucky to be alive. When I found out that he died on impact, I didn't really feel lucky. And sometimes I still don't. Drinking and driving is completely unnecessary, and I think it's selfish if you do it. It's just, it's not worth taking that risk, because you never know what's going to happen.
More than 114,000 people are waiting on an organ transplant at any given time in the U.S., and at least 80% of those are waiting for a kidney.
For kidneys, it largely defaults to waiting time, but for livers, hearts, and lungs, it's largely based on the degree of illness and how sick someone is, and that defines their priority on the waiting list.
Dr. Charles Rosen, director of the Transplant Center at Mayo Clinic, says living donors can help save people waiting for a kidney or a liver, but those waiting for other organs, unfortunately, have to wait for a deceased donor. Dr. Rosen says if you're interested in saving another person's life with your organs after you die, it's important to sign up as a donor now while you're still alive to save your family from having to make a difficult decision at a difficult time.
We've heard from donor families or potential donor families that decided not to donate because it was such a stressful time in their lives, that then 3-6 months later, they felt some remorse for not doing that.
For the Mayo Clinic News Network, I'm Ian Roth.
So we're back on the legal side here. And before we went to break, we were talking about the 28 states that allow stop and frisk. Let's kind of go over those states very briefly. Right now, in the last few years, there's been some constitutional challenges, some legal battles, if you will, about not having to identify unless they are being arrested and that detention just isn't good enough. The states that do allow it right now is Alabama, Arizona, Arkansas, Colorado, Delaware, Florida, Georgia, Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, New Hampshire, New Mexico, New York, North Carolina, North Dakota, Ohio, Rhode Island, Utah, Vermont, Wisconsin. Sounded like an ad, didn't I? And there's 1449. Yeah, in the small print. If you want those states, if you want to get more clarity on what each state statute is, you can go to Google or you can contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com. There are some exceptions to the law, even where they do allow the stop and identify. In Delaware, it requires suspicion of a crime. You can't just stop someone, and that includes loitering. In most states, it does require suspicion of a crime, or that a crime is about to be committed, because it has to abide by the unlawful seizure. The Constitution trumps and overrules any law that might be written. If it's not constitutionally sound, then the law is not valid. Keep in mind, that doesn't mean that you don't have to obey the law. Even if it was poorly written or didn't consider the Constitution, or there might be a constitutional challenge to that law, you still have to obey the law. You can still be arrested. Now, you know, as we say frequently, don't battle with the officer over, I didn't do that, I wasn't speeding, I didn't. Now is not the time. You do that in court. That's what courts are for, to plead your case, and maybe you'll be found not guilty. Maybe you will have a good dispute, but that's up to the court. And at the scene, at the time of the stop, that's not when you argue your case. You have to wait till you go to court. You have to obey the law enforcement officer, because during a legal stop, and even one that you don't think is legal, you're not a judge, you're not a lawyer, you don't have a, and even if you do have a law degree, the officer is making what he believes to be a legal detention or a stop, and if you don't comply, then you could be charged with resisting arrest or obstructing justice or interfering with a government official from doing their job, and a number of other statutes in various states. So comply, that really is the best way, even though in the last 3 years, the optics has been to fight, to resist, not to give in. And that's just not right. That's what's causing the high uprise of officer use of force and deadly force especially. There are some situations where a private security officer could also get involved. But before I go there, I do want to talk a little bit about encounters with the general public, whether you are a sworn private or public law enforcement officer, or if you are a private security officer. Now, in the use of force training that we do, we spend quite a bit of time, a number of hours actually, on talking about consensual contacts. Consensual just means that I walk up to you, and although I am the security officer, I don't really have any justification for detaining you, but I do want to find out what's happening. Why are you there, or what are you up to? And so if I just begin the conversation, hey, how's it going? Yeah, sure is hot out here today. Yeah, it is, man. As long as they stay there and they're talking to me. Hey, what are y'all up to? Y'all live here? Yeah, I'm visiting Charlie over there in Building D. That's consensual contact. You're not detaining anyone. No one's in custody. No arrest has been made. You're not depriving anyone of their legal rights. So at any time, either private security or private police may approach any person and just ask some general questions. Of course, as I just said, the objectives simply is just to have a friendly conversation, even if you might suspect that person of being involved in a crime, trespassing, drug dealing, whatever it might be. And as long as you don't get specific, hey, you got any drugs on you today? Are you got a gun on you? Now you're getting in that area, that gray area, where it's almost sounding like you're detaining them. As long as you are consensual, friendly, general in your conversation, then this is considered a consensual contact, even though while you're conversing with them and they're answering your questions, you're learning more and more about who they are, what they're doing, and whether or not they are involved in any criminal activity. The person that you approach is not, and I say this again, not required to identify him or herself during any of this consensual contact. You can't force them, hey, let me get your identification. Hey, give me your drive. Now you are detaining them. Now you're giving them an order. And in states that allow private security to make private person arrest, this could be a situation where you find yourself in civil court being sued for an unlawful detention. Yes, security officers do sometimes get sued as their employers and as well as their clients for unlawful detention. We see this frequently in shoplifting cases where a person suspected of shoplifting was unlawfully detained because the security person had no reason other than a suspicion to detain. They didn't see the shoplifting. They didn't witness it. They don't have a complaint of it. They just suspected, hey, this person was up to no good. I saw him with something in his hands. Now he doesn't have it in his hands. I'm stopping him, and I'm going to find out what he had. That's an unlawful detention. So a consensual contact, you cannot ask for identification. Oh, you might be able to ask his first name. I usually say, hey, my name is Rick. I don't want to keep calling you. Hey. What's your first name? Oh, yeah. Yeah, John. Okay. John, look, we've had some problems out here recently, and I'm sure you're not up to no good, but could you tell me, you know, are you a tenant of this property? Are you visiting? Yeah, I'm visiting my cousin, my sister, my mama. Okay, what building is she in? What is her name? Yeah, it's all consensual until they say, I'm not answering any more questions. I don't want to talk to you. Then it's not consensual, and you have to make up a, you know, quick decision. Are you now going to detain them? Do you suspect them of any problems? Do you suspect them of violating any law? Trespassing is a violation of the law. In general, police just cannot tell a person that they have to identify themselves, except in these 28 states. Consensual contact is interaction, just having a conversation at the point where that person says, hey, am I free to go? Am I being detained? How many YouTube videos have you watched recently where people say this almost automatically when they see security or police? Am I detained? Am I free to go? When we come back from our next break, we're going to talk about reasonable suspicion. We're going to be talking about when security can identify a person on private property and what recent case law allows and doesn't allow when the person does not have police authority. You're listening to On the Legal Side, a production of Private Officer International, and we're coming right back.
Without this woman, my father couldn't have had his hip replaced.
Without these people, I'd be dead.
This man helped my son through leukemia.
Do something amazing. Give blood.
If you're not already receiving breaking news and our bi-weekly newsletter, Officer Don reports, and discount training news in your personal or business email, then go to our website right now at privateofficer.org, privateofficer.org. A Dropbox will come down. Just fill out your info, and you'll be the first, one of the first, for sure, to know about what's happening in the security industry. You'll know when a security officer is killed. You'll also get these great discounts on training and equipment and so much more. PrivateOfficer.org. And if you're not already a member of the Private Officer International Association, sign up while you're there today. Become a lifetime member for just $99, and we'll also include a free Private Officer International patch and lapel pin. On the Legal Side, and today we're talking about stop and identify states and how private police officers with law enforcement authority and private security can benefit from those laws when you know the law of your of the land, of your state. And just like with stop and frisk laws, when used lawfully and properly, they're very beneficial because it gives you a chance to identify someone who may be causing a disturbance or acting suspicious. And rather than wait for them to commit an actual crime, or even if they have committed a crime and they're suspected of it, you can identify them. The downside to these type of laws, as we've seen in cities and states where stop and frisk was allowed, they can be easily abused. It can be used as a discrimination tool and as a tool to target certain classes of people. or even people in general. But they are effective. These laws do work, and they help to not only identify wanted criminals and stop crimes in progress, but they also work to deter things from happening. Unfortunately, especially in recent years, a lot of people have fought against these type of laws and authority that police are given. Private police officers in general have the same law enforcement authority as any police officer on their employer's property, whether that be a hospital, a college, a university, or an apartment complex. Wherever they are given law enforcement authority, we often talk about the state of South Carolina, very unique situation there. Security officers under state statute are deemed to have the same authority of a deputy sheriff while on duty on the property they're employed or contracted at. So that gives them a very wide scope of authority that they just wouldn't generally have as a security officer. So obviously to stop and identify would benefit their position. But again, it's just a situation where it has to be used in the correct and lawful manner. Can security officers just arbitrarily just decide, hey, he looks suspicious, I'm going to go ahead and check him out? Can security officers just decide that they're going to, you know, demand identification from someone that they don't think lives on a certain property or works on a certain property? There are some situations where security may identify a person lawfully. So let's talk about that for a moment. And again, there's very little case law that supports when security can legally stop a person. But remember, if you don't follow the law, if you abuse any authority that you might have, you might find yourself in civil court along with your employer for unlawful detentions or even civil case where you've discriminated. We have a law file with cases where security personnel and private police have been sued over the years, and it's getting thicker and thicker every day. So here's when private security may stop to identify a person on private property. There are no specific law that says private security can or cannot identify a person in any state. Most of the laws deal with sworn law enforcement. However, a few cases that have gone through the court system adjudicated in recent years, security may check for identity when a person is acting suspicious, loitering, or is in a restricted area or on a closed business property. So if you're patrolling a hospital and you're in the pharmacy area and that pharmacy area is closed, then technically a person is trespassing who is found to be there. So then you could identify them. If a person is loitering on a property, doesn't seem to belong there, you can identify them. Can you make them show you their driver's license or identification card? No, you cannot. But we're gonna show you a little loophole on that here in a moment. Private security may require identification when they have a checkpoint set up at an entrance to a business where notice is given. So if there's a sign at the fence, all persons entering the property subject to search, all vehicles subject to search, and must identify, then you can. And only if you are conducting a checkpoint and stopping all persons and vehicles entering and requiring all people to identify themselves. If you randomly stop people, just like when police run checkpoints for driver's license, which is really for DUI, they must identify everyone or every fifth car or every tenth car. If they only stop and identify certain people, that is against the law. That is subject to a seizure, constitutional violation. So security may stop every fifth vehicle coming in to identify, or every tenth. They may stop every vehicle to identify, but they have to be, they must have some type of system. They can't just randomly do it. Security may stop and identify someone who is trespassing on their property. If you know for certain the property is closed, no one's supposed to be there, yes, you can stop, detain them, and identify them. You may identify someone who is subject to an arrest. So if you're about to arrest someone, whether that be a private person arrest or you're detaining them until police can get there, you can identify them. Security officers may not detain a person for the mere purpose of identifying them unless they are suspected of a crime. Sounds very similar to law enforcement. There are certain things they can and cannot do even in the stop and identify states we spoke about a few minutes ago. Security officers have a right to identify a person when it's required by the employer. So sometimes in a high-rise office building or an office complex, you have a security officer at the desk. Everyone has to log in and log out, especially visitors. Now you're identifying them. Do they necessarily have to give you a driver's license or show you a picture ID? No, but they are supposed to sign in and out. Whether or not you're able to identify whether that's their true identity, that's a different, story. What happens if a person refuses to identify? That's something we're going to get into here right after this break. Remember, Premier Training Academy in Charlotte, North Carolina, trains both North Carolina and South Carolina unarmed and armed security personnel. They offer the SLED program. Check them out online, Premier Training Academy. Call John and tell him that you need some training. They also offer first aid, CPR, armed security, civilian defense, and other courses. Call John at Premier Training Academy. We'll be right back here.
The Federal Aviation Administration wants you to fly your drone responsibly. Avoid flying your drone near other aircraft, especially near airports. Fly your drone below 400 feet. Always keep your drone in sight. If you see a safety issue involving drones, contact local law enforcement immediately. Fly smart. Fly safe. Have fun.
Driving a car is basically like driving a weapon. My friend died because someone made a bad driving decision.
My uncle died because someone didn't think before they got behind the wheel.
You let down your parents and your loved ones.
You could lose your friends. Parents don't like their kids hanging out with criminals.
Drug driving is just as bad as drunk driving.
Today, here on the legal side, we're talking about when you can stop to identify someone and when they have to comply with your order. Not a request, but an order. And there's only about 28 states currently that allow law enforcement to do so. We talked just about a couple of moments ago, how private security may stop to identify a person. Even though it's private property, oftentimes security officers believe or have the improper thoughts or maybe even training, and they believe that they can stop anybody anywhere on private property. That's incorrect. You cannot stop anyone anywhere on private property just because it is private property. The fact is, a person must either have committed a crime, be acting suspicious, or otherwise known to be already trespassed from the property. If it's a closed property, the company is closed for the day, the company is no longer operational, and you are watching a closed business, a warehouse no longer in business, a hotel, then yes, you can identify anybody on the property during non-working hours when you know construction workers should not be on the property. What happens if a person just outright says, the heck with you, I'm not telling you crap, you're just a security guard, a cop wannabe, you're nobody, you have no authority, get out of my face. Are you allowed by law to grab a hold of them, throw them to the ground, handcuff them? No, you're not. There's only a few times when a security officer could put hands on someone, and that is if they are lawfully and legally making a private or citizen's arrest, or they are detaining someone lawfully for a crime that they have witnessed, and in many cases, states only allow a private person arrest when a known felony has been committed, not even a misdemeanor. So if someone's trespassing, that's a misdemeanor in all states. So detention might not be allowed. Now, if they're trespassing on a closed property, now maybe you might have a felony because it could be a burglary attempt. Be careful in your actions. If a person does not comply with identifying themselves, you can do this. And that is, you can tell them that they no longer are authorized to be on the property and that you are demanding, telling them, giving them a lawful order to leave the property. If they just refuse to identify themselves, do not live on the property if it's a apartment complex, do not work on the property if it's a business or the business is closed, then you can issue that trespass warning verbally or a written notice. And then if they disobey you that at that point, then you have a crime. And that crime is criminal trespass. And you can detain them or place them under private person arrest and deliver them in some states to a law enforcement officer or the magistrate, depending on the language of your law. Be sure, like I keep telling you, be sure that you know what the law is, what the law allows. Otherwise, you're assaulting a person. I just saw a video. This was a school board meeting where a person was not wearing a mask, a face mask, and was not complying with the rule of that meeting, which required everyone to have a face mask. And I saw a security officer, after telling the man to leave, then grab the chair that he was sitting on and physically threw him on the ground, lifted the chair up, and the man fell to the ground. He then grabbed the man's arm and began dragging him from the room. This, my friend, is assault. I don't care what the violation was. This was a low-level ordinance violation, not even a misdemeanor, didn't rise to a misdemeanor. They may have had an ordinance in place that a face mask had to be worn, but maybe they didn't. Maybe it was just a health rule. And many security officers across the country in the last 2 years have found themselves facing assault charges when trying to remove someone from property for a face mask violation. It's even escalated to the point where security officers have killed the person and then been charged with murder. Be very, very careful. Even a police officer could not pick up the chair and slammed that man to the ground. That would have been an assault. And that's why police officers are being arrested today. Videotapes are every place. Everyone's got a camera. Cell phones have cameras. There's video cameras every place you go. Police officers have body cams and dash cams. So whatever you do will be caught by someone, somewhere. I even saw recently where a investigation involving a security officer use of force, police got the video not from the body camera of the security officer, not from the camera on the property, but from a camera at another business across the street, was able to see the use of force, the shooting of the man unlawfully. Be very careful. Understand the law of the land, what your authority is. If a person refuses to identify themselves and you think that they're trespassing or they've committed a crime, you can detain them for the police. You can give them a trespass warning. And if they don't comply, you could possibly detain them in your state, depending on the statute. And if you have private person arrest authority in your state, you could arrest them if it allows you to arrest for a misdemeanor that you have witnessed. I guess really in closing, I just want to keep saying be careful, be careful, be careful, because it's so easy to get caught up trying to do the right thing, trying to enforce the rules, trying to enforce the law, trying to do your job in the best way possible. And sometimes we overstep our legal authority, just like the police do. We overstep the boundaries. We overstep the law. If we're trying to enforce the law, we can't break the law to enforce the law. For more information, be sure to contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com. And before closing, I just want to remind you, we're the good guys. A campaign right now gives you the opportunity to either design or draw We're the Good Guys campaign. And the first place winner gets $1,000 of Armor College credits, $250 worth of merchandise, and a lifetime membership. Second place, $500 of training at Armor College, $100 of merchandise, and also a lifetime membership to Private Officer International. For more information, if you're not already receiving our breaking news alerts, go to privateofficer.org. Sign up today. And if you'd like more information about We're the Good Guys campaign, what it's all about, how to enter it, contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com. That's all for this episode. Until the next time, be safe, be blessed. Don't forget our radio show tomorrow, the Private Officer Beat Radio. And we'll see you back here on the radio.